How do you turn it off?
Oh, you want it off?
Yeah. There you go. Remind me to turn it back on.
I don't want to blast some of you out. I'm thinking I'll have a voice. And I'm a loudmouth, as you know. Well, I'm going to try to finish up what I started last February. I made up my mind to teach on discipline, how to raise children and whatever. And I started last February, and I'm just now finishing up. So that's a long study, huh? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this opportunity we have together and share this word, preach this word, teach this word. And Lord, may we learn from it and help us to raise godly children that will bring honor and glory to your name and joy and happiness to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've talked about fathers, but I want to talk about a father again today, God as the Father. So turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Now, Hebrews is a great chapter, chapter 12. But I want you to go to verse 5. I have three different areas that I just wanted to think about. I've talked about paddling, spanking, teaching them no, a lot of things like that. And those are all valuable things. But here in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 5, let's look what it says. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. We have an attitude in our society today. I don't know that it's around the world. It's just right here in America, very surely. That if you spank your children or you discipline your children strictly, that you don't love your children. But the Bible says if you love your children, you'll chasten them. And here it is, God dealing with his own children. Now, I have been chastened of the Lord. I don't know whether you have or not, but I have been chastened of the Lord. And he says, if you haven't been, you're not a legitimate son. God wants something out of you as his children. He didn't just want to raise children, let them go up like any old weed out in a vacant lot. He wants children that can obey, that can understand, that can think for themselves, that can make good decisions, that he can put in a place of leadership. He can put them in a place of responsibility. Eddie was very responsible when he was a young boy. I think he's still responsible now, but at any rate, I could trust him. I could give him something to do. Now, when he got to be a teenager, he went crazy just like everybody else. But when he was growing up, that little boy, I could tell him to do something, it was going to get done. And how many children are like that? Think about it. Think about yours if you experienced parents. You know something? That's what God wants out of his children. That's you and me. And all the rest, even these young ones that just get saved, God, pardon me, God wants a responsible child that will respect His wishes, that will complete His commands, that will honor Him in all their life. And it tells you right here, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. And don't faint. Now, I tried to raise my kids with they could take responsibility and they could take hard luck. You know, you're going to live in this life. There's some people really aren't prepared to live in this life. They're not prepared for pain. They're not prepared for disappointment. I mean, I didn't get to date every girl I wanted to date. But I didn't just go crawl off in a corner somewhere. I said, oops, there's another girl around. There's 3 billion of them on the face of the earth. Surely I'll find somebody that'll like me. You know, you don't just quit when something doesn't go your way.
Amen.
You don't just give up when you have pain. There are things you have to do, and if you do it for God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to hurt. And that's what God wants you to be able to do. I want my children to have strength of character, manliness. Stand up and take what comes your way. And no matter what, and I have told you every year I preach, get a thick skin. Now, when they were in the hospital, this nurse was telling me my skin was too thick because they were bending the needles trying to get them into me. I really didn't know I had that much of a real thick skin. Some of you thought I want you to have a thick skin so you can put up with me. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to have a thick enough skin that you'll keep on doing God's will no matter what anybody does to you. No matter what problems you come up and face, you can still stand up and say, I'm still going on. Good night. You think the last 57 years people haven't hurt my feelings? I know you think I can't be hurt. Oh, I've spent a lot of nights thinking about things that were said. Didn't sleep. Man, I'd look for vengeance. Then I'd have to think, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I want you to have a thick skin so when somebody insults you in church, and they will, somebody will hurt your feelings, and they will. The pastor will fail you, and I will. You can keep on going. You can just keep right on going. Because you got a tough hide. I see people who have their feelings hurt all the time. And if you're one of them, you start thickening that hide. You start putting needles in your skin or something. Do something. Make you a little tougher. If you're going to do the work for God, you're going to have a little toughness in you. Now, some of these sissy preachers, I don't think they'd do the work of God. And if you can't take trouble, failure, criticism, while you're doing the work of God, just keep on doing it, you'll not do the work of God. And you know what He wants? He wants children that'll obey Him. That'll follow Him. That'll do His will. And sometimes He puts some of us through a very hard trial. Look at Job. There's the ultimate example. I mean, this man's good. This man loves God. This man prays regularly. This man's a faithful man. He loses all his children. He loses all his wealth. He loses his health. And he's sitting out on a garbage pile, dump, scraping his sores. And his 3 best friends come by to encourage him, but they don't do much encouraging. They put him down that much more. And I can just see Job saying, why me, Lord? What did I do? And his friends said, you did something. You're not innocent in this. You did something. But he was innocent. You think that hasn't happened to a lot of other people? Man, in the Bible, King Ahab wanted a vineyard. So he killed a good man and his sons. Now that man, as far as I know, never saw his grandbabies. And his sons never saw their children, probably. You say, oh, it's not fair. No, it's not fair. Life's not fair. Get this out of your head. Life is not fair. And you better teach that to your children. So what if somebody else gets something you didn't get at school? Well, that doesn't mean you lay down and cry and go bury your head in the corner somewhere or commit suicide, as some of them do today. No, no. You pick yourself back up, get up, seek the Lord, ask for forgiveness for where you failed Him, and get up and do His will. And that's what He wants. Look, He says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Pardon me. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. I have seen kids, they cannot stand to be corrected. They cannot stand to be chastened. Well, bless your heart, you better make your kids where they can understand that's exactly what they deserve and what they're going to get. And you be faithful to your word and keep your word. Don't promise them, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to pack you 25 times and never touch them once. Make your word good. God's word's good. Now, He chastens His children. And sometimes His chastening's pretty tough. It's tougher than I ever was with my kids. And I was known to be a hard father. And my kids will tell you how hard they had a raising. But, hey, I'm proud of them. I'm thank the Lord for them. They knew what chastening was, and if I gave my word, I'd keep my word. Well, that's what God wants. Now, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now, think about this and try to apply what's taught here into your life and into your raising of your children. It says right here, whom He loves, He chastens. He loves them enough, He doesn't want them to go wrong. He loves them enough, He's going to spank them when they step out of line. He loves them enough, and you need to love yours enough. Amen. You need to love your children enough to make them obey. To teach them some manners, to teach them some obedience, to protect them. Listen, all through life, you're going to have some rules you've got to live with. Or else you pay the consequence. Now we see on the news every day people who don't want to go by the rules and they suffer the consequences. Jail's full of them. We got them out here on the streets and they're begging for food. Well, something's wrong. They can't handle life. They can't keep a job. Maybe they can't keep a marriage. And part of that just might lay back on the parents. And God Himself, He had His only son, Adam. And Adam disobeyed Him. Only gave Him one command. I mean, He didn't give him the Ten Commandments. He gave him one command. Don't eat of that tree. Go ahead, enjoy the garden. You're a farmer. You're a gardener. Enjoy the garden. Eat everything there. That one tree, leave that one alone. And Adam did it. So we know, even if you're a perfect parent, and God is, that your children may not be perfect. In fact, they won't be. What a disappointment. I know some of you young people don't have any children yet, and you're thinking, oh boy, how I'm going to raise my kids, and they're going to be this way, and this way, and this way. Yeah, dream on. They will test your patience, I'll guarantee you. And some of those little rascals, they know how to test your patience. They really do. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, scourgeth every son. Now, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. What son is not chastened? Now, that's pretty good reasoning. And this is from God to you. And it ought to apply from you to your children. You ought to be something like God. That's what He wants you to be. He wants you to be somewhat like Him. He said right there, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as His sons. Well, why don't you get a better attitude about the chastening of the Lord in your life so that you can pass that on to your children about the chastening you're going to give them? It doesn't hurt you to explain to your children when you're going to discipline them some way. It does you good. You need to explain to them, I'm sorry, but I can't let you get away with this. I'm sorry, I would be disobeying my Heavenly Father in His example and in His commands if I don't correct you. And if you're going to disobey me, I'm going to make it hurt. Now, I don't believe in beating, and mostly not over 3 spats with a board. And I made a few mistakes, did a few things wrong, had to apologize for them. But you have to learn.
Amen.
And I've had to go in beside my children and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Or I went too far. That's why I tell you, when you're mad, don't discipline.
Amen.
When you're mad, promise them you'll do it tomorrow. And then keep your word. Do whatever you need to do tomorrow. If you endure chastening, hey, how many of you have ever been in the military? Went through basic training? Anybody in here? Yeah, there's a few of you. What'd that TI do to you? Man, I'm telling you, it didn't take them long for me to... I never called anybody sir when I was growing up. It was Dad and Mom. Mr. So-and-so. But, boy, it didn't take them about a week or two. I was calling everybody sir. They had me picking up rocks and walking them over to another field and putting them down all day long. I was so tired of picking up rocks. And the next day, we went back to the field where we moved them and picked those rocks up and put them right back where they were. You know what they were doing? They're saying, obey me. Obey me. Do what I tell you to do. Don Welburn went to work for a car manufacturer up in Fort Worth. They had him out there beating up good materials with a sledgehammer all day long. He's beating fenders. He's beating lights out. He's doing all this beating up. He could not understand it. Nearly drove him nuts. They're trying to tell you, do what I tell you to do without questioning it. Otherwise, how are you going to get out on that hill and the guy, the sergeant, says, charge! I ain't charging. But if they get you to the place where you can obey when they tell you to do something, you'll charge. You will charge. God wants obedience, and He wants your children to be obedient to you. Nothing worse than having a family visit that has 3 or 4 kids, and they're crawling the walls. Crawling everything. Don't listen to the parents. I'm going to spank you. If you don't do this, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to spank you. 19 times and never touch them a time. If you're going to discipline anybody for anything, it has to hurt. If it doesn't hurt, it's a waste of time. You slap the little diaper, pop, like this, and the baby goes, wah! He's lying. He's lying. He's a psychologist. He knows you can't stand to hear that little baby cry. You haven't hurt him. You hardly dented the diaper. When you get to the point, and I think it's somewhere around 12 years old, something like that, where you should be able to stop any kind of physical spankings, in my mind, then you make them do something. I don't care if it's wash the cars or copy Bible books. Oh, that's a good thing. Oh, yeah. Book of Proverbs, teach wisdom. It has to be something that they can't stand, and you make them do it, and then they will obey you in order not to do it. But you might get a son like Billy, who would weigh in his mind, is it worth the spanking? He did it. Hard-headed, because all my kids are hard-headed. And it's all because of their mother. That's a hard-headed woman. Now, we've had our fathers of the flesh, and I know that a lot of my rules probably weren't what they ought to be. And yours aren't either. But at least you learn there are some rules to follow in this house. You are going to respect me out in public. Now, I wouldn't advise you to spank a kid in public right now. I would just tell them, you're going to get it when I get you home. Because there's people out there that think you're a criminal if you spank a child. I spanked Eddie one time in a restaurant. He was just acting up. And he was small. But I, with my hand, spatted him a few times on his upper legs, below the diaper, or whatever he had on. And this lady come up to me and said, I saw what you did to that boy. This is a long time ago. Eddie's 57 years old. He was just about in the first year. 57 years ago. I saw what you did to that boy. This morning, my daughter went in and she's 16 years old. And she took this dress out and she threw it on the floor. She took this dress out and threw it. I ironed all those dresses for her and she threw six of them on the floor. She said, what would you have done? I said, she wouldn't have sat down for about a month. First of all, what in the world are you doing ironing for a 16-year-old? Huh? Come on! Wake up! They got to learn to work sometime in their life. That's the kind of thinking, and it is taken over in our society. Do something that drives them crazy. Don't let them do something they enjoy doing, like go play with your games. You understand what I mean? Discipline must have consequences that make them want to obey you rather than not. Now, you can have some hard heads that we're going to disobey you anyway. They are. And that's terrible. But what the Lord wants? The Lord wants some children that can obey Him, that can bring Him honor, that can bring Him pleasure, that He can put in a hard place and they'll stick. That ought to be what you want to get out of your children. These little things you're raising, you need to put some determination, some grit, a tough skin. You need to do something where they will grow up and be able to handle life. Life's going to hit you hard. I promise you, life is going to... I know when you're 16, 17, 18, 19, something like that, everything's going to work out right for you. You're going to be a millionaire in 4 or 5 years. You're going to drive sports cars. You're just going to have everything. But let me tell you something. It doesn't work out that way. That's not life.
Amen.
You got a lot of hard knocks that you're going to have, and you want to be able to take the hard knocks and keep on going.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Let me switch to another verse, scripture. 1 Samuel 1:28. Therefore, this is Hannah, Samuel's mother. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. 1 Samuel 2:26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor with the Lord and also with men. I did this with every one of my children. Not in a formal way. I didn't go down before the church and say, I'm dedicating my child to the Lord. But Verlene and I, in our hearts, we gave our children to the Lord to do with as He pleased. I think that's a pretty good thing to do. I've seen people get out of the will of God because they didn't want to cross their children. That's the truth. They loved their children so much they thought that they couldn't do the will of God. Couldn't go to Poland or Mexico. Couldn't preach. Couldn't even be faithful to church because the kids had ball games all the time or something else like that. I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. I have lent him to the Lord. I personally, with Verlene, gave every child we had to the Lord. And we said, Lord, you can take their life. You can have them have all sorts of problems. We like mercy. And boy, I've received mercy. I've received real mercy. Why don't you give your children to God? Why don't you, in your mind, say they're His? They're not really yours so much, they're His. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're His. I'm just raising them for Him. I want Him, I want my children to be raised up to know the Lord and to obey the Lord. And so, Lord, whatever it takes, they're yours. Now, I'll do my best. I'm not shuffling off the responsibility, saying, God, it's all your problem. No, I'm still raising my kids for the Lord. But she said she lent him to the Lord. What a great man Samuel was. Now, Eli, Samuel, and David had a great influence upon me. All of them lost their children. Eli was a good man, but he couldn't control his sons. Samuel was a good man. He couldn't control his sons. David was a good man, but he couldn't control his sons. I did not want that to happen to me and my sons. This is serious. What I'm talking about is serious stuff. I've seen good kids come out of bad houses. And I've seen bad kids come out of good houses. So there's no guarantees. But you're playing the percentages. You're saying, if they serve God, they're going to be better off than they'll be serving the world. I taught my children to memorize Scripture before they could read and write. And they memorized lots of verses. They can learn Scripture. You know what? Kids can learn, and they learn fast. But they will test you. Every one of them. They're going to test how much they can get away with. That means you've got to have a little backbone. And you might need a purpose. I just like this about Hannah. I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. And I think you ought to take every child you got and lend them to the Lord. Now, the apostles didn't go to college. They were trained by OJT, on-the-job training. Every one of the apostles. Evidently, they read and write. The Jews, it was very important for them to be able to read. I imagine you had very few illiterate Jews. Where most of the rest of the world, it didn't matter that much to them, but the Jews wanted to read so they could read the Word of God. Jesus took 12 men and kept them with him for 3 years. They saw how he did things. They saw how he ate. How he slept, how he prayed, how he preached, how he handled people around him. Now, I'm going to say something that may scare the daylights out of you. Your kids, after they get through with their teenage years, young 20s, they're going to turn out a whole lot like you. Isn't that amazing? I sound like a hick. Well, I am a hick. I was born on a 66-acre farm that had 300 bearing pecan trees. Some of them so big it'd take three men for us to reach around the base. All native pecans. My folks were country people. That's why I still sound like a Texas hick. And that doesn't bother me one bit. I got a master's degree in English. Taught it for 20 years. But I don't sound like that, do I? It's sort of like my handwriting. If you ever get a note from me, you may not be able to read it. The missionaries used to write me and say, "You have the most interesting letter. It takes us 3 or 4 days to figure out what you said." I never got a passing grade in penmanship in my life. There's always an ugly hen scratch. When I was graduating with my bachelor's degree from college at Howard Payne up in Brownwood, I needed 124 hours and I had 123. Well, being the lazy guy I am, I didn't want to take 125 if I just needed 124. So I looked for a course that had 1 hour. It didn't have, I had all of my requires done. It was elementary handwriting. I'm telling you, they taught me to write absolutely beautifully. They made me do all those circles and stuff. All the things I didn't do in the first grade. I did as I was graduating from college. It lasted for about 3 months. And now then it's still, Verlene is about the only one that can read my writing. They're going to be like you. Jesus did on-the-job training. I went to Guatemala. I ended up having 10 preacher boys that I taught. And I took them with me to different towns. I went with them. And we tried to start churches in different towns. It was on-the-job training. Oh, I had classes. I taught them some things, what I knew. But I went with them. We knocked on doors together. We preached in the streets together. We passed out tracts together. On the job training. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we do right here. Now, Brian's got some classes going to give you a little knowledge of the Word of God. But we also have open meetings where young preachers can preach. And young teachers can teach. And people who reason on the Scripture can get up and say something about it. Man, it breeds preachers. It does. It has. It's on the job training. No degree will make you a preacher. No degree. And just having good doctrine will not make you a good preacher. You need to hear somebody that knows how to preach and copy them. You need to see how some people reason. Take them with you when you're winning souls. Show them the verses that you use. Show them how to use your Bible. I used to have my Bible where I could turn it around and let them see it, and I could read it upside down, because I nearly had it memorized anyway. But I could read. I learned to read upside down while I'm witnessing to somebody, and they're looking at my Bible. Well, somebody goes with you for 2 or 3 months. It isn't very big of a stretch to say they could walk over here and witness to somebody and do about as good a job as you. On the job training. Do you realize what God has done to you? He's given you kids that you have to do on the job training. That's your responsibility. God put those little things in your hand. And oh, my wife, when they're just those little bitty things, they weigh 6 pounds and their head goes every direction. I don't like them then. Now, when they can hold their head up and take a licking, I can trip them, roll them on the floor, you know. Then they're a lot of fun from then on in, especially up until they start school. I pick on some of these kids around here. You may see me sometime. I love to pick on them. Shake their hand nearly off. Tease them. Love them. Great things. You're responsible for what they learn. And you're teaching every day of the year. You don't ever get a day off. You're not like the school teachers that get Saturday and Sunday and maybe a couple of months in the summer. When I taught, we got 3 months off. I'd say, you want to know 3 good reasons why I'm a school teacher? June, July, and August. That was 3 good reasons why I was a school teacher. Loved it. You have them every day of your life, and they are going to be like you. Now, that will hurt their feelings if you tell them that right now. If you got teenagers in your house and say, you're going to be like me one of these days, they will deny it. No, I'll never be like that. But I'll tell you what, you just look around. When they get about 25 or 30, they start coming back. And when they get up 40 or 50, they're just almost spitting image of you. They think like you think. They reason same way. They've got a whole lot of the same values. It's on-the-job training. That's why God put you there with those little kids and made you a whole lot bigger than them. So yes, you can be a bully and force your way up on them. You need to. You don't let no little kid 2 foot high run your home. Do you understand me?
Amen.
You don't need to be mean to them. All you need to be is firm.
Amen.
Reasonable. Don't make a bunch of unreasonable demands. No. But be firm. God has put them in your house so they'd see how you live. It says in Acts 16:3, him would Paul have to go with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. He took him with him. He finds a guy named Timothy. He's a young man, but he's got promise. And Paul took him with him. Where do you think Timothy got all his learning? Where do you think he got his doctrine? Listen to Paul teach and preach. Listen to Paul reason. Listen to Paul when he's talking to Christians in a home, and listen to Paul when he's out in a riot. Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul had a lot of compliments for Timothy. Paul took him with him on the job training. Look, if you will, at 2 Timothy 3:10. When we read verses 10 and 11. 2 Timothy 3:10 and 11. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Amen.
You know what Paul did? He replaced himself. He reproduced himself. And that ought to be what you're doing. You ought to have a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that you can reproduce in your children. Pardon me, I just keep having all this phlegm come up. He said, you know my doctrine. Where do you learn good doctrine? From a good preacher. That's where you learn good doctrine. You might have a hard time just taking your Bible and reading it, but if some preacher preaches something and you check him out on the Word, you'll learn something. You'll learn something. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. Well, let me tell you what. Your children know your doctrine and they know your manner of life. What are they getting? What are they getting? You better be careful what you give them. You better be careful about your doctrine and your manner of life. And by the way, if you pick on the preacher every time he preaches, and on the way home from church you're picking on the sermon and the doctrine and all this right here, what do you think your kids are going to do? They're going to hear you.
Amen.
They're going to hear you.
Right, amen.
If you go into a place and you destroy their faith in the police or law, our parents, our teachers, what are you going to get? You're going to get trouble. You're going to get a child that'll be disobedient and disrespectful. When I started teaching, it was 1961, here in San Antonio. And I was pastoring a little church now called Southwest Baptist Church right by Southwest High School. I was the pastor who built that first brick building there. I was teaching school while I did it. We spanked. I didn't have to go ask the principal to come watch me. I didn't have to have the teacher in the next room to come watch me. I just picked up the kid, put him over my desk, and whapped him two times and set him back down. I had parents come up and thank me. It was a different generation. But I had parents come up and thank me for spanking their child. I was teaching English. I always kept my Bible, a Bible, on my desk open. All the years I taught. I had a couple of principals tried to stop me from doing that, and I still kept doing it. But I made them memorize in English the greatest English poetry. Like the 100th Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, the first Psalm. 1 Corinthians 13. I had kids in 9th grade English that would memorize the scripture for me. I had parents come up and thank me. Now by the time I got to where I was retiring from teaching, it was not the same ball game. You needed to be a Philadelphia lawyer and have a whole lot of paperwork. And I learned how to do that. These kids that are just going to get in trouble anyway, I love them. One time I came home and I was telling my wife about this young thug that was in one of my classes and he was really giving me fits. And she says, Lindell, you never taught a boy as mean as you were. That was the opinion of my wife. Some of these boys try things. Well, I did the same thing when I was in school, so they weren't getting anything new on me. My doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. Do your kids know your purposes? Do they? Sure they do. They may read them better than you do. They know your purpose. Your faith, they know what really ticks you off. They know what you can stand and what you can't stand. How about long suffering? Are you long suffering? Well, I guess your kids to know. I'll bet you they know. Now, you might not know how to answer them, ask the question right to get the right answer, but they know. They know what triggers you. They know how they can set mama off or set daddy off. They know what really hurts you. And they'll try to say the things that hurt you. They're trying to win. But you're a parent. How about charity? They know about your love. How about patience? Are you patient? Patience is a virtue. A lot of people don't have any patience. When I was young, I didn't have any patience. I don't know why, but I seem to have a little now. Must have been tribulation I've gone through. Tribulation worketh patience. Persecutions and afflictions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul took Timothy with him and on the job training, trained him up. And evidently he was a fine man because of the recommendation I read about him. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for you, your state. Wow. You talk about a testimony. Now that's a testimony. He's just going to naturally care about you instead of himself. Wow. That's a testimony of a Christian, a good pastor. It's on-the-job training. It really is. And that's your job. Well, I think those are some good advice about raising children.